Welcome to another message from LifePoint Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on LifePoint Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer that this message will help you live in focus every day. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
Three, if you would, as we continue on in our summer series from the book of Proverbs, the wise versus the foolish, your mouth, your money, your morals, and your decisions. As I thought about this, it's my desire for myself, for us, really that each of us would live a life of wisdom, and that you and I would be characterized as being wise by those that are around us, those that have been entrusted in relationship with us. And so last week, we talked about this battle that we all face, that we've all encountered, and we all live with, and it's this battle between making wise decisions and this battle between making foolish decisions. All of us relate with that. All of us identify with that. All of us are challenged by that because each and every one of us, even this past week, have had opportunities to make wise decisions and you made those. And maybe you had opportunities to make a foolish decision and you made that foolish decision. And so we talked about where that comes from, and if we're going to live in obedience to the commands of God, for those commands of God are life, that's wisdom, or are we going to live by our own desires or live by things that are in opposition to those commandments would be foolish. And so if it's true, as we learned last week, that really it all begins within our heart, according to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, that Proverbs says in 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, because from it comes the issues of life, or it's a wellspring of life, depending on what translation you use. And so if it's true that wisdom or foolishness flows from here, it starts from here, then it's also true that it will affect our path, it will affect our direction that we set out on. So the writer of Proverbs, who mostly, predominantly is King Solomon, wants to share some thoughts with his son. And so in chapter 3, dad has a conversation with his son, and Solomon, being wise, engages his kid, which is a wise thing for all of us parents to do, right? Is to be engaging our kids in the issues of life and the decisions that are before them. He does that. He invites his son to come and be with him. And you know, if they had it in the day, I'm sure dad said, hey, come and sit on my couch, son, I want to talk to you. I want to just walk through some scenarios in life and have some conversation with you. And I want to share with you about the wisdom that I've gained through the years. And so his counsel we're looking at today mentions again the heart. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, we've entitled the message this morning, The Path. It says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Some translations say it, he will direct your path. How many have heard that passage of scripture somewhere? Maybe you have it hanging in your wall over your behind you, you know, behind your desk, man. You know, trust in the Lord in all your heart, with all your heart. And, or you have it somewhere in your home, or you have it on the coffee cup or whatever. I mean, it's a popular passage of scripture, but there's three active verbs within that passage of scripture that we're going to talk on this morning. It is trust, lean, and acknowledge. What is being said? If we do those things, if we trust, if we lean, if we acknowledge, the promise is this, that he will make our path straight. Now, a couple weeks ago, Pastor Jacob preached from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, did a great job. I was out running yesterday morning listening to it, and I had to run a little bit farther than I was planning on because he preached really long. I'm just kidding. It was a great message, and so I was listening to it as I was out jogging, and in preparation this week, I again thought about Ephesians chapter 2. I'm not going to re-preach Pastor Jacob's message, but if I could go a little bit further with something, because it ties into what we're looking at this morning. when Paul makes the statement in Ephesians 2:10 that you are his workmanship, you are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. You are his masterpiece. You are his poetry created in God for good works in Christ Jesus. When Paul makes that statement, you have to understand that he is making reference to the Middle Eastern custom of his day that was practiced when a king was embarking on a journey. His servants would leave a few days before to make sure that the travel would be safe, to make sure all the arrangements were cared for, to make sure that everything was prepared for the king, for when the king arrived. They would prepare the way of the king. They were his secret service, the advance team, if you will. The Heavenly Father, though, here in Ephesians 2:10, flips it on us. On his servants. Instead of the servants taking care of the King of Kings sets out to take care of his servants and prepare the way of the Lord and to prepare the way of the servants. The picture painted in this passage is simply this: God is setting you up. He's setting you up. He is in the business of strategically positioning us in the right place at the right time. And his angels are our advance team. Each trip around the sun that you have had the privilege of taking part in, God has carefully arranged and choreographed each one of those trips. You are his workmanship. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Isn't that awesome? You think, well, Steve, man, I know some of the things that have happened in my life, and they are not fun, and I don't like to think that God helped arrange those things. And granted, obviously, how many have made stupid decisions in your past, and God was like nowhere in the zip code on that decision? But you made it. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But here's the deal. If you are familiar with, you know what a tapestry is? A tapestry is what you would see. Oftentimes they are hanging on the wall and it's a picture. And you and I see the front side of that picture, but if you flip that picture over, it's just a mess of yarn. And it's just a mess. It's just not pretty at all. And some of us look at our life, and you look at your life and you view your life as the backside of that tapestry. It's just a tangled mess. And you're like, I don't get it. I don't see anything there. I don't see God involved in my life here in this area of my life. But yet you're not seeing the front side of what that picture is, friend. And God is creating a beautiful tapestry. It's a tapestry of grace of your life. A few weeks ago, as you know, we were on vacation, and if I could share another vacation illustration, I will. But we were heading into Dallas. It was fairly late, and my eyes were tired. As you can see, I'm wearing glasses, and my contacts are shot. And so, like, after 2 hours of having my contacts in right now, my eyes are, like, shot, and I'm ready to take a nap. So I thought it'd be good. Just wear your glasses this morning. And I was driving, and we hit Dallas, and I'm like, I'm done. I'm spent. I can't, like, I'm, like, ready to fall asleep. It's the weirdest thing. And pull over, and Robin is like, I'm in, get out, I'm in, you know, and she jumps in the driver's seat. But we happened to exit right at a bad point because it was right where I-35 splits between east and west. And the exit that I got off on was like weird and just, you know, and so Robin jumps in and she's like, where do I go? And I was like, I don't know, I can't even keep my eyes open, go that way. And so I send her west, and we needed to go east. And we had a little map going, but we didn't have it on the GPS. And how many of you guys have a GPS thing that talks to you? How many of you just enjoy that voice? You know, and that's why I didn't have mine going, because that voice just annoys me. I mean, the voice, like, talks down at you. You know what I'm saying? You miss a turn. And all of a sudden, recalculating, you messed up, you know. And so we didn't have that on, but that voice, and then if you can change it to, and how many of you guys, if you have a GPS, you've changed it to the English voice, the English mind, because you want some tea and it's all good. You feel better about yourself or whatever. I think personally that they should make it a beach guy talking to you. Because, you know, the condescending voice of recalculating, you missed your turn again, to a beach guy that would be something like, hey, bro, sorry, you just missed your turn. Don't you hate it when you do that? Just go to the next intersection, we'll flip a U-ey, and we're in this together, and we'll get back on track. It's all right. You know, I think that would be great. It's easier to receive that than recalculating. But let me ask you a question. Is it possible, as we talk about the path this morning, is it possible if you're a follower of Jesus, filled with the Spirit, with Scripture as your roadmap, not to make any major mistakes in life? Is that possible? Some of you are like looking at your neighbor. I'll shake my head yes if you do. If you read the Bible literally, the Bible would seem to indicate that it is possible to live a life without doing that. I mean, that's a lofty goal, isn't it? It's like, well, some of you are like slinking down in your seat because I'm like, I failed. In Romans chapter 7, Paul even mentions his struggle with sin and his failures. And so the reality is that I haven't seen anyone accomplish that. We're reminded daily of our finiteness. We're reminded daily, weekly, of our sinfulness. All I'm asking you is it possible to go through life and not find yourself in the ditch? Without major mistakes, without getting distracted or off track? Is it possible to make it through life not controlled by sin? I didn't say perfection, did I? But according to this passage today, it says that if we trust in the Lord with all our hearts, and if we won't lean on our own understanding, in all our ways acknowledge Him, that God has built within us, if you will, a GPS device that will make our path straight, that will direct our paths. But Steve, what about the people that are so far off path that they're surrounded by a forest of bad decisions and overwhelming shadows? What about those people? What about the people that have gotten disconnected from church? Those people that have been disappointed by church and church people and now are just kind of floating and they're spiritually adrift? What about those people? What about the people who feel so disqualified that they don't feel worthy to walk the straight path any longer? What about them? Is it possible to pick yourself up and get back on the path that God has ordained for you, the path that God set out before you to walk? Is it possible to get on that road again? You know, the reality is I don't care how far someone feels they're off the path. I don't care how big the suitcase is that they drag behind them because of their past decisions or how cold their heart is towards God. God said this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. That is great wisdom from Solomon. Remember last week we talked about Solomon's encounter with God in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, and God gave him wisdom like no one has ever had before or since. But we're New Testament believers if you're a follower of Jesus, and we have something that was given to us that wasn't given to Solomon. We have the Holy Spirit residing in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, Scripture declares. I mean, that is just like, it's so exciting. In John chapter 16, Jesus said this as he's preparing his disciples for his departure. The crucifixion is really hours away. And Jesus is talking with the disciples and he's interacting with them and he's preparing them as the crucifixion is coming. and the unknown is before them. The next step, they're not sure of. Maybe just like you're not sure of the next step that lies before you. And Jesus speaks life to them, and he says this in John chapter 16, verse 13, "But when he, the Spirit of truth," that's the Holy Spirit, "comes, he will guide you into all," say all truth, not just part of it, not just some truth, all truth. "He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." Think back to the GPS device, if you will. If you have one of those things, if you have the volume up on that thing, you'll hear this as you're driving on your trip. Your turn is coming up in 2 miles. You will turn right. You will turn right in a mile. Your turn is in a quarter of a mile. Turn right in 300 feet. Now, my question is this. You're going 65 miles an hour. How are you supposed to know what 300 feet is? Have you ever thought about that? As you're, where am I? And then you miss your turn. And then you get here recalculating, right? But anyway, your next turn, 300 feet. And then it says what? Your turn is now. Now.
No. No. There it went.
Right? It doesn't want you to miss the turn. It doesn't want you to get lost. Is it possible that the Holy Spirit is better than any electronic device that you could use to direct your path? Because how many know you've been on some trips before and you had your GPS and the GPS was wrong and it laughed at you. It taunted you. No, I'm just kidding. The Holy Spirit doesn't want you to get lost. You've heard me tell this story before. I was thinking about it this week in preparation for the message just of our family and the journey that God set us on. As November of 2013 unfolded, and I sat down with a friend, someone that speaks into my life, and just said, "Hey, this is kind of what Robin and I are talking about, and this is kind of some promptings that we're feeling," and it was like, "Steve, get ready, a change is coming." And then February, March of 2014 happened, and Robin and I were on a marriage encounter breakaway, and you know, if you've been, all of us need to go, but if you've been, you know. You have no other option but to have communication with your spouse. It's awesome. And we were there and we were talking, and so often through that weekend, conversation would be come back to, okay, what is the path? Where is God directing? What is our goals? What are our ambitions? What do we desire? And it just kept coming back. Get ready. A change is coming. You have a right turn. And it's you know, 3 months away. And then May hits. And it was like, "Hey, start packing. It's coming." Then June hit. And it was like, "Let's talk." And June was when we came and we met with the elders and talked with them. And then July 13th of 2014 happened. And we were assembled together and in unity and in agreement. We felt like the Lord said to all of us, "Let's come together. Let's do this thing." And so here we are. That is the GPS device of the Holy Spirit as a living illustration. That is what Jesus was saying. Solomon was saying, God will guide us in just some truth? No. God will guide us in all truth. I'll tell you when you need to turn. I'll tell you when you need to stop. I'll tell you what you need to hear. But you must do this. You must lean into me. That is so key. I am with you. If you get off, I'll help. I'll recalculate. I'll speak to you. I mean, there's nothing like the joy, the faith, the courage you can have when you know that you're walking where God has called you to walk. Even when that path is rough, even when that path is hard, even when you're facing difficult diagnoses or difficult job situations or difficult family situations, when you know that you're being led by the Spirit and that you're walking in the path that He has set before you, man, it changes everything. You can walk with a confidence. You can walk with a courage. It's a joy of being a follower of Christ. It's a joy of being filled with the Holy Spirit and surrendered to the Holy Spirit. You can get out of the ditch. You can get out. You can get back on the road and not be lost. But how? Let's talk about it. Let's just talk about these three verbs real quick. First one is trust. Trust in the Lord, he says. Trust is the Hebrew word betach. It means bold, confident, to be absolutely sure. In Isaiah chapter 31, the prophet Isaiah makes this declaration, and it contains a stern warning to the children of Israel. We read this in verse 1 of Isaiah 31. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen, but not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. What would that sound like if it was written to us, LifePoint Church, today? Maybe it would sound something like this. Woe to those who go to Washington, D.C. for help, who rely on politicians, who trust in the multitude of their 401k, and in the great strength of their military, who find themselves looking over their shoulder at the past instead of looking to the one that is authoring their future. And don't look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. I mean, in many ways, that is what God is saying to us. And in Psalms, the psalmist says this in Psalms 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy the safe pasture. In verse 5, he says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. I mean, we are living in historic times, are we not? Times that are hard to fathom and even comprehend. What a great opportunity we have as a church to rise up and to shine as a light, to offer light for the path that leads to life. I mean, we have a choice to be a Christ follower and to be examples to the rest of the world, or to act like the rest of the world. And the challenge to that is maybe the church in America, by and large, has acted and been too close to acting as the world acts, and so we have really nothing to offer the world. Where God is saying, listen, lean into me, follow me, because if you follow me, you will have life and you will have something to offer those who are needing life. You know, as you look at this proverb, God is saying, who do you trust? What are you putting your trust in? I mean, we know that our trust can't be in the dollar. I mean, I got gas on Friday, and I'm like, good grief, I loved it when it was $1.79, right? The dollar is changing all the time. Can't put it in the might of our military. Can't put it in some politician on either side of the aisle. It doesn't matter who you have a bent to. Our hope, our trust has to be in God, because if it's not, we're going to sink. God is saying, trust me. I've brought you this far. Now, you know, through this sanctuary this morning, there is various demographics. I mean, some of you are in your 80s, some of you are 12, and everything in between. And you've experienced a lot of life. Through your life, God has said, and you have followed that through, trust me. And you can look back through the course of your life and you can see he was faithful, he was faithful, he was faithful, he was faithful, he was faithful. I can trust him. I mean, God has brought us this far. And that's hard though sometimes, isn't it? All of us here understand that no one is immune to the reality of that difficulty. A young ruler by the name of Asa understood that. He was a ruler over the land of Israel. He was young, he hadn't led for very long, and he was facing a severe challenge. I mean, all hell was getting ready to break out on this king. And you pick up his story in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 9. And Zerah the Cushite marched out against them with a vast army and 300 chariots and came as far as Maresha. In verse 10, Asa went out to meet him, and they took up battle positions in the valley near Maresha. And then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this vast army. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let men prevail against you. The Lord struck down the Cushites before Esau and Judah, and the Cushites fled. He experienced victory. He was young then. But through that victory and through time, he became more and more confident. And the danger of victory that you and I face and everyone else faces, the danger is this, is that you can become self-reliant in the midst of your victory, can't you? Fast forward several years with Esau. He's figured out how to be a king on his own. He's built alliances with foreign kings and foreign countries. And instead of falling on his knees and crying out to God, God, in you I trust. God, we need your help. Instead, Esau breaks out a pen and a paper as another nation begins to prepare to attack them. And he begins to write letters to other kings asking for help. Please help us. Send us some reinforcements. Make an alliance with us and agree to help us against this king. I mean, you think, well, that's smart. That makes sense. It's, how many know, though, it's not always wise to rely on worldly alliances. And look what happens in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 7. At that time, Hananiah, the seer, came to Asaph, king of Judah, and said to him, because you relied on the king of Aram, in other words, because you made an alliance with the king of Aram and did not, and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped your hand. Were not the Cushites and the Lebanese a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord reigns throughout the earth to strengthen those whose what? Heart. It goes back to the heart, doesn't it? Are fully committed to him. You have done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war. But wait. I mean, the foreign army, they fleed from him. He got the victory. But what's the problem? The problem was his first call. He called on the neighboring pagan kings for help and not God. His heart had changed from trusting in God. And here's the point. When calamity, when stress, when trials, when life happens, who's your first call? Is it family? Is it friends? When the tough times hit, who's the first call? When troubles come to the house, who gets the call? I mean, is it the family? Is it the friends? Is it Facebook? Because that's really smart. Understand, we need to go to God first. Proverbs directs all of us to do that. God wants to know that we trust him first. Esau learned that. What about you? In a couple of weeks, through this series in Proverbs, we're going to talk about the counsel of the wise, because Proverbs does speak about receiving counsel from others, and that's a wise thing to do. But guess who we should go to first? God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Let's talk about the second verb. It's lean. It's the Hebrew word she'an. It means to lean, to support, to know by experience. Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 said, give me wisdom to lead your people. Solomon was saying, God, I want to lean on your thoughts. I want to lean on your understanding. When we lean into God, guess what happens? God helps us. We commit ourselves. We commit our family to you. We commit little Annabella to you. We're going to lean into you, God, to ask you to help us in this direction. We're going to lean into you, God, as a church to ask you to guide us through this season in our life, the direction and the path that you have before us. We're going to lean into you, God, not our own understanding. Commit ourselves to you. That'll be challenged, won't it, when you do that? Often, you know how it's challenged when we go through a time and we go through a season and we're looking for a direction and we don't know what it is. People will often say this. I think we've all said it, and we mean, we say it, and we don't really take into the context of what the depth of the statement. It's almost become a token phrase within our culture. Follow your heart. Well, that sounds like harmless, doesn't it? How many know? Can I just submit to you, that's really bad advice? Because your heart is corrupt. Your heart is selfish. Guess who your heart's going to look out for? Me, myself, you, yourself. I don't have much confidence in my heart. I don't know about you. The reality is you and I really don't know our own heart and what lies within it. It's scary. I suggest we submit our heart to Jesus and follow him. Because left to our own devices, we are suspect. God is the one who knows the answer. Submit your heart to God, and God can be trusted. Nowhere in Scripture does it say, follow your heart. Not even in the book of Hezekiah, which doesn't exist. Scripture does say some things about our heart. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Trust in the Lord. Lean on him, not on your own understanding. Lean in to him, because here's the reality. You know what our own understanding often leads to? Worry. Have you experienced it? Worry is a commitment to your own thinking. You want to worry? Commit yourself to your own thoughts and just see where they go, right? If you are the one who has to figure out this whole thing, if you're the one that, man, you know, I'm responsible for everything from the time the alarm clock goes off to the time that you go to bed at night, good luck having a good night's sleep. And you're responsible for everything that happens tomorrow. Rest in that. Relax. Have fun. Enjoy it. Raising your kids, they can worry you sick. Your spouse, sometimes they're a knucklehead. Speaking of myself, that I'm a knucklehead, not my spouse. Maybe yours. I'm speaking of myself. I better go on before I get myself in trouble. I mean, good luck. Worry is a commitment to your own thinking. Faith is a commitment to God's. And to God's plans, and to God's path, and to God's direction. Solomon declares his dependence on God in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, or chapter 1. What does it mean to lean? You know, if I could just sum it up this way real quick, and we'll get to our last point. Leaning into him instead of leaning into our own understanding means this. Man, I'm going to turn down the volume of my own understanding, because the reality is there's a lot of things that I don't understand. I see, and I'm in conversation with people, and they make a decision, and I'm like, I don't get that. That makes absolutely no sense at all why you would do that. And I do the same thing. I start trying to figure things out, and I start leaning into my own understanding of a situation or a dream or whatever. What we need to do is turn that volume down and turn the volume up of leaning into Jesus, leaning into God. God, I'm not hearing you speak to me in this issue or in this matter. I'm going to lean into you. I'm going to change some things up and position myself to hear your voice. And if I'm not hearing your voice, then I'm going to be comfortable just resting in your presence and not making a decision until I know that I know. Because I have to have something to hang on to before I take the next step in the path. So, trust, leaning, and finally, acknowledge. Verse 6, in all your ways, acknowledge him. You mean the days that are going great? Yeah, acknowledge him then. The days that are going bad? All the more, acknowledge him then. Each and every day, acknowledge him. You notice that in this passage it says, and he will make your paths straight. Some translations say that he will direct your path. He doesn't talk about the destination, does he? You and I, we like the destination. We like that talk, that conversation. We're fixated on the destination. It's fun to think about the destination. Be it heaven, Be it a dream job, a goal, be it a grand desire that you have. It's fun to think about those things, and we should set goals, and we should be ambitious. It's not bad to do that. It's not wrong to do that, but it appears that Solomon's counsel would be pay more attention to the path that you're on than the final destination. Because if you take a wrong turn on the path you're on, you may never arrive at that destination. Pay attention to the path. You will end up at the right destination if you stay on the right path. True? Acknowledge him while you're on that path. Acknowledge means, it's the Hebrew word yada. It's where the Yiddish phrase yada, yada, yada comes from, right? I mean, it's like the wind blows in Kansas. Yada, 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 yada. It's like, yeah, I know that. Right? I know, I know, I know. It's like this one. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to try yet again to win some games. Yada, 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 yada. Sorry, I'm meddling. Yada has a deeper meaning than that, though. It means to have respect for a family, familiar friend. If I could illustrate it this way with parenting. We're coming to learn. I mean, parenting has been an absolute blast. Robin, if you'd come through this process that we've been on. Each season has just been a joy. I've loved every one of them. But I've heard it, and I'm learning, beginning to experience it. And our boys, they're not perfect by any means, trust me. But they've been awesome. But I've learned that the older they get, the harder parenting becomes. And it's not because they're making bad decisions or anything like that. It's because as they get older, you don't have as much control. You aren't able to influence and direct them. Not able to show up on the college campus and say, hey, did you do your homework? Hey, you really need to clean your room. Hey, the car's a mess, man. Go clean the car. I'm not able to do all that. You're not able to influence them. You don't have as much control and direct them. And you know that on the horizon are major life decisions of job stuff, of what they're going to be doing in their future, and even bigger than that, that individual that they may marry. That's scary. Parents, we pray like crazy that their kids would make wise choices. And it's a time where kids should be wise and they should call home and they should ask, hey, mom, dad, I need to make this decision. Talk to me, help me think through it. Invest your wisdom and your experience into my situation, into my life. Be a familiar friend for me, if you will. If I could use that illustration, that's the very same thing God is wanting to do for you and me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge. God, I'm thankful for the relationship I have with you. And I really need you to speak into my life right now. I really need to have your voice, your promptings, your peace be really familiar to me right now. I acknowledge and I respect you as my King and my Lord and my Savior. And Scripture also tells me this, God, that you're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. See, we have a perfect Father in heaven who wants and wishes more and more that we would acknowledge him as a familiar friend. How many know, as you got older, your parents got smarter? Right? When you're 12, 13, 14, you're just like, yeah, whatever, mom. Let me tell you a few things. And then you like got wise and you went out on your own and you're like, oh. And God knows we have a perfect Father in heaven who wants and wishes more and more that we would acknowledge him. I don't care how long you followed Jesus. The longer we followed him, the more dependent we should be upon him. Father, am I making the right choices? Yada, acknowledge him. Acknowledge a familiar friend. Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, we humble ourselves before you. We think of this message. We think about trusting in you. Think about leaning into you. Think about acknowledging you. And God, the reality is Lord, I'm almost completely confident that every one of us in this place find ourselves somewhere. God, I need to trust in you in this area. Maybe it's someone here, Lord, this morning that needs to trust in you with their life, with their salvation. That they have lived their life according to their own rules, according to their own agendas, their own plans, and their own purposes, and they wake up every morning empty. They wake up with a fear of the unknown, of the future. And God, you're saying to them, trust me. Trust me with your life, because I am the author of life. I am the giver of life. My desire for you is that you would have life more abundantly, and it comes through my Son, Jesus Christ. I've prepared a place for you. You don't have to worry about the future. I've got that. What you need to worry about is allowing me to be your Lord and your Savior. You're sitting here this morning on the 14th of June in 2015, and you perhaps have never allowed Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, or maybe you walked away. At one time he was, but then you walked away, and you're here this morning going, you know what, today's the day. Today's the day. I'm going to trust him, and I'm not going to trust him just with a segment of my life. I am going to trust him with all of it, because he's trustworthy, and you're here, and that's you, and you're ready to do that. You're ready to make that commitment. Would you just slip up your hand? I'd love the joy, the privilege of praying with you. Anyone at all that say, you know what, Steve, would you pray for me? I want to trust Jesus with my life. I want to allow him to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I want to know forgiveness of sin. I want to know a place prepared for me in glory. I want to know his love. Anyone at all? Say, man, would you just pray for me? See that hand. See that hand in the back. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Say, it's time. It's time I trust him. I've been going my own way, and it's time, and today's the day. Pastor Jacob, I know you're sitting back there, but if you raised your hand, Ramey, would you help Pastor Jacob, would you help your husband? If you raise your hand, today's the day. I just need to give myself wholeheartedly to God. Listen, we're your church family. We're not here to embarrass you. We're here to do life with you and to travel with you along this path. And you're saying, today is a day of salvation. Here in a moment, I'm going to ask you to come up to Pastor Jacob and talk with him. And he's going to talk to you a little bit more of what it means to trust in God with all your heart and receive him as your Lord and Savior. Perhaps you're here this morning and you'd say, you know what? I've been leaning in my own understanding, Steve. There's been situations, there's been scenarios that in my own reasoning, I've reasoned it out that this is the best decision for me in this situation in my life. And even, you know, we do that, and it's not that the situation and our decision is wrong, but it's our own wisdom. And God has gently spoken to you this morning. That's not the path that I want for you. And you're just saying, you know what? I want to lean into God. I want God's best for me. I don't want my agenda, my understanding. I want his. And if that's you, would you just slip up your hand? God, all over this place this morning, there's folks that are saying, that's me, Lord. I've leaned into my own understanding. I've reasoned this thing out, and I've reasoned the situation out. Lord, I pray that, Lord, this morning that they would sense grace. They would sense the peace of God, that they would sense the joy of the Lord. God, that they would not lean into their own understanding, but God, that they would lean really hard into you. And in leaning into you this morning, as we sing this song here in a moment, that they would sense your presence. They would sense you saying, hey, come on, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'm going to give you some rest. And Lord, for all of us, may we just acknowledge you. God, we acknowledge you. We are dependent upon you. And it feels good to say that. There is freedom in saying that.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.